Well, good morning, all of you that are listening. Pastor Ray Drake from Country Bible Baptist Church. We are experiencing a national crisis. It's a global pandemic of the COVID-19 virus. Last week I preached on plagues, which this is. And been many years since America especially has had to go through major national plagues. So they're not used to them, and most are ignorant of them as well. So last week I laid out the different dates and where the plagues came from. Turns out the earliest instance that we can find is the plagues that God put on Pharaoh through the hand of Moses. And through the Bible you find that because God has created everything, he's created them for his own purpose, his own tools. God's angry with the wicked every day, Psalm tells us. And so it is with America and the sin that people are living in every day without any regard to anyone else, and especially God. I pray that even through this virus that we're going through will cause many unbelievers to bow the knee and repent and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. The name of last week's message was God is in control, and he still is this week too. You see, it was the year 1932. Our nation had just begun a long journey through the Great Depression. We're in a recession right now. It may go to a depression. The stock market had collapsed. Millions were out of work. Nearly 25% of the population lacked sufficient food, shelter, clothing, medical care. During his inaugural address, President Roosevelt, FDR, made the following statement. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. So, we don't need to panic and hoard things from the grocery store and think the end is near and everything. You read your Bible. If you're a Christian, you know that the end of the world can come for at least 1,007 years, counting the tribulation and the millennial period. But that may be. It may be that we're raptured any time, and I'd be glad for that. All right, I encourage you to take your Bibles as you listen, rather than just listening, but I need you to read the Word with me as well so the Holy Spirit can use it in a great way within your life. That is always my prayer. Different pastors have chosen to take different routes than closing services on this Sunday for various reasons. I don't want to put the sheep that are under this shepherd in any risk at all to be able to feed on the Word of God. We can feed on the Word of God at home, so forth, through different ways. But it is important to be in church. As soon as we can safely, we will as well. We're supposed to obey the powers over us, Romans 13 tells us. So the governor has shut down all unnecessary meetings and so forth. And so I've chosen to err on the side of caution and what's best for everyone. Not just one. A lot of people would like to be against my decision, but I stand by it. And I'm thankful for the ones that stand with me too. Kind of reminds me of Moses in the Old Testament and Korah. That was against Moses' decisions all the time. And that didn't work out very well for Korah. Well, anyway, take your Bibles this morning, please. If you have a King James Version, that is. Anything else, you're going to be confused. Go to Jeremiah chapter 18, please. Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18, we start reading. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us. This is the day you've given us, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Help us to have the right attitude and spirit through all of this pandemic that we're going through. It's hard on everyone. Lost jobs, finances, everything goes into it. But I'm so glad we can trust you, Lord. So I pray that you might bless as I preach the Word of God to those that want to learn and grow. Have the Holy Spirit change them. Bless the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah 18, I say, starting with verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Well, it's a good thing. That's what you're doing right now. You're hearing God's words. "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." So here in chapter 18, you see that he's made it again, it says in verse 4. That's a remake. Amen. Go to the next chapter. We're going to go to Jeremiah 19. And let's just hit number 1. "Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people, and of the ancients of the priest." And let's drop down to verse 10. It says, "Then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel, it cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet till there be no place to bury." Interesting. Verse 18. He says, that nation, that people, they repent, so forth, and they allow the potter to work with them. He'll remake them. But then in verse 19, we see of the same people, he says, "Or else I will break this people, this nation." These are similar but different object lessons, obviously. In the first one, that vessel was marred. He made it again. Now, he made it again as he seemed good. As it seemed good to him. Don't be against the Lord when things are not remade the way you would do it. As I've said many times, God is in control. Don't pick a fight with God. He'll win every time, and you will be a sore loser the rest of your life. Don't go that direction. I don't counsel that for you at all. Keep your place here and go to Philippians 1:6. The book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 6, I call your attention to this verse that Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. He just keeps on working with us all the time. All the time we can see the Lord not giving up on us. Turn back just to the book of Ephesians, to your left a few pages. You get to Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 10. Verse 8 tells you that the way you get saved is by grace alone, not of works, it says in verse 9. So that rules out baptism, because baptism's a work. You don't get saved when you're baptized. So the Church of Christ and others are wrong. It's only by pure grace. Where do the works come in? Well, that's after you're saved, of course. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So the whole point is in Jeremiah that God is working, wants to work with people. He wants to work in your life. He would rather remake you this morning than break you. But that will be your decision. God gave us free will, free choice. He doesn't force anybody to get saved. It's got to be of your own free will that you're willing to do that. We'll go back again to our text. Jeremiah chapter 18. Look what it says there. That clay was marred, is what it says. The word marred means defective. It's less than it's supposed to be. It's corrupted. But, praise God, that clay is still in the potter's hand. He hasn't thrown us away. He hasn't discarded us. He hasn't given up on us. And drop down to verse 6. He said, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand. But the remaking experience sometimes isn't very pleasant. You see, when the potter is making the clay, and I've preached on the potter and the clay many times in different sermons, but when he sees impurities in that clay as he's molding it and making it, he takes it off the wheel and he mashes it down. Boy, he works that thing over. Oh, yeah. He puts that through quite an ordeal. Why'd he do that? So something that was marred can finally be something beautiful and useful and valuable. Mm-hmm. Now, in chapter 19, and isn't it interesting to you, that 19 comes right after 18. So my message. God doesn't break you right away. He wants you to, out of your self-will, to give that up to be able to follow his will within your life. It's not going to turn out well for you if you do not do that and allow him to remake you. Because 19 says, well, now it's going to get a little harder. He says, if I can't remake you, I'll break you. In chapter 19, it does say break, doesn't it? That means you can't be whole again. Those are different outcomes from each one of these chapters. One was made again, one was broken, destroyed, rendered useless. Well, what's the difference, preacher? It's the same potter. It's the same materials, same process. And it's the same desired outcome. The difference is in the condition of the clay. In chapter 18, it was soft. It was moldable. It was workable. In chapter 19, it's hardened. It's brittle. It's fragile. It's breakable. In chapter 18, it's fresh clay. That means it was supplied with much water. It was clean clay. In chapter 19, it's hardened, not fresh. Maybe it was put on the shelf, away from the potter, away from the continual attention and care of the potter. You say, preacher, how does this all apply? Well, it applies in spiritual condition. See, most important thing is your spiritual condition. I don't preach to flesh. I preach to the soul. That's what I'm interested in. That's what God's interested in, is a soul being saved. Our bodies aren't saved yet. We will be when we have a new body, as the Bible clearly teaches in 1 Corinthians 15 and also 1 Thessalonians 4. We'll have a new body. We'll be changed in the moment. Amen. So, but what I, like why I didn't have church services this morning, our soul is inside our bodies. So, if our body dies, that's not so good. God wants us to stick around. He wants us to be useful for Him. He wants us to serve Him while we're down here. He wants us to give you plenty of mercy and a chance to go ahead and repent. Remake or break, it's up to you. He's the same merciful, loving God that He's always been. So how does it apply? Spiritual condition is less than God intended. You are the kind, maybe, that has, God has no choice to break you. That is far worse than being remade. We got lots of hard things we go through in life, don't we? Well, God said we can go through all of them, and we can come out on the other side. Job found that out, the oldest book in the Bible. He said, I'll come forth as gold when he's done with me. Amen. He didn't want to be broken. He wanted to be remade. Well, like it says that in chapter 18, that this vessel was marred. It had plenty of water to soften it up. The impurities were removed. Number four, he's still in the potter's hand. In other words, he's accessible to the potter. He's accessible to God. Are you accessible to God? How's your devotional life? Your prayer life? I'm afraid so many folks that call themselves saved, born-again Christians, don't pray every day. I mean real prayer. I'm not just praying over your, talking about praying about over your meal before you even get giving thanks, although you should be thankful in everything. I'm talking about a prayer life where you love to go to prayer meeting, you love to pray, you love to be around the people of God that pray, and all of our prayers go to God and He gives answer to our prayer. How's your prayer life? Are you accessible to the Lord? How's your daily walk every day? How's that going for you? Your love life with the Lord. Do you really love Him? Oh, it's easy to say we love Him, isn't it? But that's not the way it works, does it? God knows our heart. Are you supplying your heart and your mind with much water? You need water, my friend. Everybody does. And you need it spiritually too. Ephesians 5:26, when he's talking about the church, he says that he might wash it by the water of the word. Mm-hmm. Do you love the word? Do you love to be under the word? Do you love to hear the word? Do you love to repent under the word? Do you love to rejoice that you get a chance weekly at least to be able to hear the word and have God, the Holy Spirit, work within your life? Mm. How's your daily reading? You read the Bible every day? Mm. How accessible are you really to God? Mm. Yeah, reading your Bible, my friend, you need to. It's not optional. It's vital. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity. We're surrounded by impurities in this world. Apropos for the virus that we're going through. We're surrounded by impurities. These impurities we can't even see. So, you know, make sure you wash your hands all the time and use your wipes and everything else you got to do. Wear a mask if you have to. Not to get this impurity inside the body that belongs to God, doesn't belong to you. And so you need to take care of it. We'll give an account one day of how we did take care of our bodies. Mm-hmm. Seeing we're surrounded with these impurities, that's why Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Took a basin of water. Mm-hmm. Pictured the daily walk as we walk through this world. So we need to get cleaned up daily. Go to the Lord in prayer. Get the Bible open. That water of the Word is going to wash you. Are you separated? That's the whole reason for the church being closed this Sunday. Anyway, we need to separate from this world. We need to separate from the impurities. We never know if someone might be here with the virus and they don't have any symptoms. We catch it from them. Maybe you're younger and it doesn't bother you, but you will give it to someone that's older as well. So it's important that we use a little common sense along with what the Word of God says as well. So you need to be separated. The potter is still able to work with you. He's still able to shape you. He's still able to mold you. Don't resist that. You know, here in chapter 18 also, you find out that this piece on the wheel, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. But he does say that he's able to make us again. Born again into a new family. Into a completely different kind of kingdom. The kingdom of this world. The kingdom of God. Praise the Lord for that. In chapter 19, as I said, this is hard. Brittle. How do we get that way? Well, that's by not keeping the clay of the heart fresh. You've gotten away from the Lord, and you've allowed your heart to be hard. Maybe you've been baked in the kiln, and that's hardened you, made you bitter. No forgiveness in your life. Oh, you love it when somebody forgives you, but you wouldn't forgive them, would you? Well, it's important. This is an ominous place to be in chapter 19. Go to 1 Peter 1. Keep your place here, of course, and go to 1 Peter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and in verse 7. He says that the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, can you see God? No. Seen Jesus? No. You seen the virus? No. Ye, having not seen, ye love. Our invisible God, our invisible Father and Son, we love Him. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Praise God. Hey, we're all going to go through some trials. Don't let those trials make you hard. One that is not repentant, doesn't want to be around anybody, never talks to anybody, never smiles, never sings from the heart. You know, it's one thing to sing from your mouth. It's another thing to sing from your heart. God's interested in your soul, your heart. That's why you got to believe with your heart. Then thou mayest, he says. God never intended to break us. When we're going through that trial, the difference is the attitude with what we're going through that trial. Somebody said, the same sun that softens the wax, it's the same as hardens the clay. We're all going to go through different hard times, trials. How you can come out of that thing? What kind of attitude do you have going through that thing? You can get hard over time. You let yourself. You were once close to God, but you kind of got used to that and you backslid. You no longer want Him to have His way with you. Don't want to repent. You're not aware of the care of the potter within your life. But He's still there and He still cares. Keep your place in our text again. Go to Leviticus chapter 11 if you would. The book of Leviticus in chapter 11. Everything in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, it's all for our good. And if it wasn't necessary, God wouldn't put it in the Bible. But it is, so we need to learn from it. So it says in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 29, he says, these also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel and the mouse and the tortoise after his kind, so forth. Drop down to verse 31. And he says, these are unclean to you among these that creep. Whosoever doth touch them when they be dead shall be unclean until the evening. Verse 32, and upon whatsoever any of them when they are dead doth fall, it shall be unclean, whether it be any vessel of wood or raiment or skin or sack, whatsoever vessel it be, wherein any work is done, it must be put into water, and it shall be unclean until the even, so it shall be cleansed. So he tells us to watch out for these things that make us unclean. You wash it with water, and that's the remedy that he's talking about there. Verse 33 says, in every earthen vessel whereunto any of them falleth, whatsoever is in it shall be unclean, and ye shall break it. Did you ever notice that the power is in the unclean? And that's the thing you're supposed to separate yourself from. The Bible tells us in the New Testament a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Do you know if you got a whole barrel of good apples, and you put in one bad apple, you should know that whole barrel is going to be contaminated, and that one unclean thing will ruin the whole barrel. If there's one sick in a room, it will affect the wellness of everybody else in that room. Just a little sin will contaminate our lives. Don't play around with a little sin in your life. It's affecting you and others around you more than you know. Again, go to Proverbs chapter 28. The book of Proverbs, that is the book of wisdom. I believe in wisdom. That's why we didn't meet for church this week, trying to use wisdom. Not popularity, not following men, not following what any woman would think is right, or any man or any child would think is right, but trying to use the wisdom of God. Proverbs 28 and verse 9, it says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." You don't want to hear the word of God. You don't want to come to church. You can take it or leave it. Maybe this is an accident that you're even listening today over the internet. Whatever it is, you turn away from the hearing of the law. I don't want to go to all of these services and Sunday school and Sunday evening and Wednesday prayer meeting and all. You turn away from it. Even your prayer shall be an abomination to God. You think you're going to get an answered prayer, right? Go to Proverbs 15, seeing you're in Proverbs, back up there. Proverbs chapter 15 and in verse 8. It says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." You see, it all matters about our attitude, doesn't it? What kind of clay we are. That'll depend on the outcome. Numbers 26, we won't turn to it for lack of time, but Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, the first high priest, they offered strange fire. That is fire that God did not ordain, as they served, quote, the Lord in that tabernacle. You know what the Lord did? He killed him. Killed him. Numbers 26:61. Your service for the Lord, is it unclean? Is it tainted and polluted by sin? Exodus 44:23 says, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." You have any discernment in your life at all? You know what's clean, what's unclean? I know this virus that we got going around all over the globe is unclean. Makes people sick. And those that are most vulnerable, they die over that plague. It's unclean. You separate from it. Keep it off your fingers. You keep it off of your face. You watch what you touch. We saw all of that right there in the scriptures. Now back in our text in chapter 19, Jeremiah 19, even if he has to break you, that doesn't mean you can never be used again. He said, you can't be made whole. He didn't say that you couldn't be used. You can serve. You can enjoy the blessings of God. That broken vessel. You ever have something break? Have a plate you drop in the kitchen or something, or a vase or vase, as they call it these days. Anything like that, boy, you know, it was precious to you, and it broke. The only thing you can do is either throw it away, or you can take the time and you can get out the glue and you can put piece by piece back together. That's what God does with those that get broke, hopefully. You'll never be the same as you were before. But that vessel will still function. It can hold something. How do you get broken? God just lets you fall. You resist. You won't listen to the preaching. You won't listen to wisdom. You won't apply the Word of God. Oh, you know it. You know the books of the Bible. Praise God. You know the answers and everything about Sunday school. Boy, you're right up on everything. But your heart, your attitude, woo! Sometimes the vessel has to be broken. But the good thing is that God never gives up on you. You're never going to be used as greatly as you could have been. You see, I, as a preacher, I don't want anyone to live with regrets in their life, to miss out on the real blessings that God can go and pour out upon us. You know, Jude 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourself in the potter's hands. You can't put yourself back together. The preacher can't put yourself together. Your wife can't put you together. Your husband can't put you together. I say it's the potter. I say it's God, your Father, that cares about you. He wants to put you back together, even though you have to be broken first. You see, you can repent of the coldness. You can repent of the hard heart. Yes, you can repent of that lack of love. What a blessing to know that we have a Heavenly Father that gave us these two illustrations. I pray that you'll take chapter 18 for yourself and not have to go through chapter 19. But it may be wonderful, the faithfulness of God. Why He loves the unlovely like me and you, I'll never know. Amazing grace. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we could allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Help our attitude be right, that we might receive the Word of God, the engrafted Word of God, with the right attitude into our heart. May we repent. May we turn. May we change our mind. Yes, help us do that this morning. Thank you for the blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.